Somebody else is going through that same situation. They need to see you so that they can see what life looks like on the other side of trouble. It's complicated. Very few people grow up with two parents, two siblings, a dog, a cat, and a couple of goldfish in a neatly built house with a well-manicured lawn in the suburbs. For most of us, there are details that make our life story complicated. You can't tell but half the story of how you were raised because it's complicated. You have no say in the circumstances into which you were born or the way you were reared. You can't explain to people that you were born in a prison infirmary because your mother was locked up on burglary charge when she gave birth to you, so it's complicated. People won't understand that your mama's boyfriend was married to someone else, but he was the only father figure you ever knew. It's complicated. People might shy away from you if you tell them your brother served time for shooting your father to keep him from beating your mother. It's complicated. Your grandparents raised you because your parents were both addicted to drugs. It's complicated. Your parents were well-respected in the community, and you all looked like the ideal family, but your father and mother slept in separate bedrooms and barely spoke to each other at home. It's complicated. If you look deeper at your life and the uniqueness of its complications, they are the clues that unfold destiny. Every strange, dysfunctional, or unexplainable event in your life help make you the person that you are. The experiences don't necessarily make sense at the time they're happening, but they shape you. They can affect you and mold you into a person of destiny. Some view life's complications as a storage compartment for excuses why they cannot succeed. With every setback, they draw into their past and say things like, "My dad always told me I wasn't very bright." Learn from your experiences as a single parent, a divorcee, a person who has a lot of haters, or a person who struggled on minimum wage renting a single room in a flop house, and use them as the building blocks for a stronger you. Any experience you have can make you stronger, not just the negative ones. Managing a paper route as a child, bagging groceries in high school, being a cheerleader, or selling magazines door to door are the kinds of experiences that can also be our training ground for broader responsibilities. When I was about 14, I was choir director at my church. Often we would travel overnight to sing at other churches. Even though I was just a kid, I would have to make sure that everyone got checked into their rooms and settled, and all the other logistics were handled. God was teaching me responsibility and accountability as a teenager to prepare me to pastor the Potter's House and manage my own business today. Dig deeper inside you. Don't let anything hinder your metamorphosis. Keep on pushing ahead because there is more inside you than what you are right now. Sooner or later, caterpillars turn into butterflies, tadpoles turn into frogs, and eggs turn into chickens. Let your vision of your destiny draw out of you the person you really are. When the appointed time comes, you will transform into the fullness of what you were created to be. Let your identity be shaped by the power of destiny because there is more inside you than what you already have conceived. Whatever you have done and whatever you're doing right now do not reflect the totality of your gifts. There are gifts in you that you have not tapped into yet. Even when you think you have exhausted the talents inside you, there are more talents buried down deeper. That's right, you have treasure hidden inside you that you haven't even touched yet. You just may not know how to tap into it yet. You may not know how to pull it out, draw it down, or shake it up, but keep on marching toward destiny. When you see right now what's going on right now, where you are right now, none of these things represent what you're truly capable of. Whether it's the most wonderful time in your life or you're in the pits doesn't matter if you're focused on your destiny. Keep looking toward what's ahead while you draw on the strengths of lessons learned from the past. No matter how it might seem outwardly, if you have an inkling of faith in yourself and in your God, declare that there is more inside you yet to be discovered and focus your attention on getting it. Don't say, don't go there. Before the days of GPS, I would drive in unfamiliar places, and more often than not, I'd get lost. The crazy thing was that even though there was no GPS, I always had a map with me. It didn't make a lot of sense to spend time roaming aimlessly down unknown streets when there was help available to get me where I needed to go. Some do that with their lives. They waste time, sometimes years, because they won't take the time to ask for guidance and direction to get to the place they want to be. Some find it hard to trust God for guidance and direction because they don't know where that will take them. They want to reserve the right to tell God, don't go there. If they fear the Almighty will lead them to a place that's unfamiliar or uncomfortable, destiny is not for comfort seekers. Destiny is for the daring and determined who are willing to endure some discomfort, delay gratification, and go where destiny leads. What do you do when God's will sends you beyond your friends? Is destiny more important than the people who are claiming to be your friends? A person who truly cares for you wants you to aim for the stars and reach them if you can. As you rise toward destiny, you'll find out who really loves you, cares about you, and wants the best life for you. Are you willing to endure ridicule? Do you have the dexterity of character being flexible enough to operate in a spirit of excellence when you don't know where the experience will take you? You never know where your experiences will lead, so as God guides you, move with the spirit of excellence. When destiny calls, be prepared to follow where it leads, even if the place is unfamiliar, intimidating, or uncomfortable. If you stay faithful to it, destiny will guide you through, and you will become so comfortable that you'll feel like you never belonged to any place else. When you arrive at a place where you were meant to be, you can't imagine another way of life bringing you fulfillment. As it all comes together, you will be able to look back and see the divine orchestration of your journey and be grateful for all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it took all of that to get you where you were meant to be. If you're serious about traveling the road to destiny, keep going, knowing there will be times when God allows you to enter an environment where the odds are against you. God will snatch you out of your comfort zone and out of your element. On your training ground to destiny, you may be thrust into situations you have no leverage. You might be in a place where your family name doesn't mean a thing. You may go to a place where people who drive expensive cars are looked upon with suspicion. The place God sends you may be one that has certain expectations for women to be submissive or docile. You may for a time go into a place where the things you are good at are not respected. The good news is that while the road may be twisted and crooked, for every divinely inspired vision, there is a provision to get you to it and through it. Provision for your vision. I was invited to preach at various churches in West Virginia, but during that time, my car was repossessed. I had to hitch a ride to do the task that I knew without a doubt God had called me to. It would have been great to have had my own car, but God gave me the provision. It wasn't what I imagined or what I would have chosen, but God made a way for me to get to every preaching engagement. I will always remember those days with gratitude because God made a way. I can't forget about those days when I think about the time since then when people have simply gifted vehicles to my wife and me just because. I can't forget that God has brought us from needing a car to having more cars than we need. We now have more cars than we have garage space. When you are faithful to the vision, God makes the provision every step of the way. It doesn't always come in the way you plan, but the provision is there. If the vision is for family, God may lead you to a couple struggling to raise their children, and you broaden your understanding and definition of family, which provides all the love you could have hoped for. Open your mind and heart to God's provision for destiny, and it will lead you there unfailingly. Your vision may be down in you in seed form right now. In fact, it may be there for a long time. Trust that God is preparing you and the people around you. God is allowing you to develop relationships you can trust before He blesses you. When He does pour it out, it will be so much you won't know if people are following you for what you have or just for you. Isn't that exciting to think about? Whatever your God-given destiny vision is, the Almighty has made provision for it. Be excited about that. Wake up every day with an agenda because you have a purpose, and it's wonderful to know the provision of your vision extended far beyond financial resources. In your pursuit of destiny, God provides in many ways. You've got a great provider backing you, so expect something significant in your life. Everybody's not going to have a worldwide ministry, but if you have a vision, you will have the provision along the way. Learn to recognize seed form blessings as discussed in the section in chapter 1 titled First Draw Internally. Your seed to achieve comes from the divine thoughtfulness of God who has pre-wired you to find the provision for your vision. You can wish, hope, and pray for a provision, but you need a vision for it. If you're praying for a job, but you don't know why anyone would want to hire you, it's going to be hard to get hired. See yourself as a person who is destined to do that job. You can ask for a spouse, but if you don't see why anyone would want to marry you, you may never marry. See the desirable person that you are, the person who would be an enhancement to your spouse's life. See the wonderful characteristics in you that would attract someone to you and inspire them to want to get to know you better and spend a lifetime with you. A clear vision steers you to the provision you need for destiny. Understand the complexity of destiny. When we envision our destiny, we imagine success, fame, financial increase, material abundance, and a position of power and influence. Your destiny may include all of those, but it also will include the challenges of getting there. Nelson Mandela was a principal figure in dismantling South Africa's system of apartheid, later became the nation's president, and was an influential world leader. That was his destiny. But his destiny also included 27 years in prison, of which 18 involved hard labor and the harshest conditions. His destiny included being beaten and humiliated. His destiny included the harm his activism brought to his family, and he wondered whether it was worth the cost. Nelson Mandela's reputation as a world power cannot be embraced without his years of prison and sacrifice of his family. The complexity of destiny means accepting the difficult side of your purpose in life. Mrs. King understood and accepted the vicissitudes of her role as the wife of a controversial black leader. Like her, like Mandela, we must face the challenging aspects of our destiny, the highs and the lows, the joys and the sorrow, the gains and sacrifices. The young people who became known as freedom riders in the 1960s were destined to be beaten and arrested so that generations after them could enjoy equal access to public accommodations. The men and women who were viciously attacked as they marched across Selma's Edmund Pettus Bridge were destined to play a role in fast-forwarding the passage of our nation's Voting Rights Act of 1965. No matter how difficult, no matter how it looks to the world, fulfillment will only come through following the hard places where destiny leads. As you follow your instinct to connect to your purpose, understand that challenges pave the way to destiny. The business cash flow issues are a part of your destiny. The marital challenges are a part of your destiny, even the tragedies. You may be going through a challenging time and begin to feel your life has no purpose because of your troubles. Nothing could be further from true. Your challenges are a part of your road to destiny. Let the difficulties teach you endurance, strengthen you, and challenge you to keep going. You're most tempted to give up when you're in the midst of trouble. But remind yourself that the challenge is a part of your destiny. You can't predict where it's going to lead. As Nelson Mandela served his life sentence during hard labor in the limestone quarry at South Africa's Robben Island, he could not have imagined that he would one day be president of the same nation that had convicted him of treason. His boat trip to the prison island where he was sentenced to spend his life was a stop on destiny's path that eventually led him to his country's highest office. Don't stay at the party too long. Have you ever hosted a social event at your house and had a guest who did not have sufficient perceptiveness to figure out it was time to leave? You've started putting away the food, the music has been turned off, everyone else except the people who lived there had already gone. You try to be polite because you don't want to scream, "Get out!" You throw hints about being sleepy. You talk about having to get up early the next morning, but the person refuses to leave. You may actually have to tell them it's time to go home. And more likely than not, you won't invite that person to your home again. Just like your party wasn't meant to go on forever, some provisions for your vision are not meant to stay in your life forever. But you may be tempted to hold on to them. Be willing to release a provision that has reached its end. Letting go is especially hard for some people, particularly fearful people. Holding on to a temporary provision can block you from a greater provision you need to get to the next level. There's a stage where you need to switch because everything was not meant to last forever. We hang on to things, people, relationships, jobs, houses, because we are afraid that nothing else will come along. As long as you are afraid of letting go of something because you fear nothing else will come along, you will hold on to a temporary blessing too long, and you have to be forced out. God can use many channels to bless you, but the manner of provisions can change. Don't limit your thinking with tunnel vision. When destiny is calling, you may get kicked out of the small place you are in to be received into a larger place. You will have lots of experiences on the road to destiny, and many of them feel like a waste because in the moment, from day to day, you can't see that God is making provision for your vision. It happens in small increments. Stay focused and faithful because one by one, those increments add up until you come into the fullness of who you are meant to be. If you are truly a child of destiny, determined, don't give up. You really are closer than you think. Stay faithful to destiny each step of the way. You don't know which day will be that day. One phone call, one meeting, one random encounter can change your life. Let all of your decisions and actions be guided by the fact that you may be right on the edge of destiny. Problems always hit hardest when you're almost there. Trouble is not a sign that you are far away. No, calamity strikes because you are almost there. The most dangerous thing that can happen on the road to destiny is a loss of vision. Firmly fix your mental perception, your vision of yourself, and conceive the invisible. You are standing on the cusp of your vision. If you conceive the invisible, you can do the impossible. You are closer to destiny than you've ever been, wiser than you have ever been because you've learned from the ups and downs you have experienced. You are stronger than you've ever been because you have endured hardship, hurt, and betrayal of false friends and are still standing. You are closer than you've ever been because you've figured out who you are and who you are not. You know what you want and where you belong. You have let go of the people and the circumstances that have no role in your future. you're closer than ever, because you live in ever-growing awareness of what matters in your life and what does not. Smell and taste your destiny. You know you are close because you are striving. Soon, the entire unfolded journey will make sense. Chapter 10. Put a stop to what's stopping you. Step out of stuck. Everybody's felt trapped in a situation they've outgrown. Those who are in step with destiny cannot wait for others to see their hidden potential and cause a breakthrough. It's time for you to move if you feel confined, suffocated, or frustrated. If everything inside you awaits the opportunity to break out, but you're exasperated because there's no opportunity, big break, or anything you can do to move out of this rut, prepare to strategize. When you stay in a situation for an extended period, you can feel trapped. You can be stymied by your career, relationships, finances, educational level, emotions, past, physical abilities, or even routines of life. You long to take even the tiniest step, but moving requires an openness to stretch beyond your comfort zone and out of the familiar. If you've got an appointment with destiny, you will have to move. Destiny can make way for circumstances to shake you loose to help you get unstuck. Bishop, I'm ready for change, you may be thinking. I'm ready for God to shake things up so I can get unstuck. Be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. Make sure you're ready for the ride. The process of getting unstuck may not be the joyful ride you plan, especially if you're a creature of habit or one who gravitates to the familiar. I am a loyalist to the familiar. If you are my friend, you're my friend. If I'm connected to you, it doesn't matter if you're in deep or hot water. I am in there with you, rowboat or not, life vest or not. As a result, I have been stuck in friendships that I needed to extricate myself from, and it was painful. God may have to shake you to get you unstuck and on the right path, and people who persecute you actually can be agents for positive change. That means you may have to get fired to get unstuck. It may mean God will use the divorce you fought against to get you unstuck. God may use a health scare to get you unstuck from unhealthy eating and lack of exercise. The slam door may cause you to turn and look in another direction for the door that's open and waiting for you to enter. What you cried about in the moment actually can become your blessing. You've already got it going on, baby. What do you do to get unstuck? First, take a good look at your life. You probably have more going on than you realize. Your life may be different from what you perceive. You may be a success and not know it, because you don't have to feel successful to be successful. Distinguish how or where you are stuck and what needs to move from what adds stability and normalcy to your life. Don't start messing with things in your life that don't need to be messed with right now. Maybe it's not your marriage that's stuck, not your children, not your job, not your house, not your college major. Work with what you have and build on that. A story I read illustrates this point well. A donkey fell into an abandoned well. The farmer who owned him paced frantically as he tried to figure out how to get the donkey out. His neighbors convinced him that the donkey was too old to worry about and that it was most humane to bury him alive. They each got a shovel and began to toss dirt into the well. The donkey wailed as he realized he was about to be buried alive, but instinctively, each time a shovel of dirt fell on his back, he shook it off. Then the donkey stopped whining and kept shaking off each shovel of dirt. As the dirt fell under his feet, the donkey stomped on it, which made it turn hard. When the farmer mustered the courage to look down in the well for one last look at his old companion, he was amazed. He watched the donkey as he shook off every load of dirt that hit his back. With each new load, the donkey would shake it off and take a step up on the new layer of dirt. It wasn't long before the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and trotted off to the astonishment of the farmer and all of his neighbors. Whatever you have going on for right now should not bury you. Instead, use it as a stepping stone to raise you to the next level. From stuck to strategy. Getting unstuck will mean leaving behind some behaviors or beliefs and cultivating new relationships and experiences. A woman who worked with an organization whose mission was to produce more professionals from the inner city explained, "Bishop, I work with people who fought their way up from the streets to get a degree and a job, but many times they can't maintain employment because under pressure they rely on old methodologies. Instead of handling corporate disputes according to corporate America's rules, they would revert to what was familiar, the rules of the streets." All people have a tendency to revert back to the familiar under pressure. A Southerner can speak without a drawl except when under pressure. A person from another country may revert to his native language when under pressure. An alcoholic may forsake years of recovery and take a drink when under pressure. You can stay stuck in a situation because you rely on the methods of where you have been rather than crafting a new one for where you're going. Dependence on old familiar ways can't be fixed by anything outside you. Getting more education won't fix that dependence. Buying a new house in a gated community won't fix that. Marrying a new spouse won't fix that. Driving a big luxury car won't fix that. You can change jobs, houses, spouses, or even cities when what really needs to change is you. You will stay stuck on stuck if you respond to a 2015 situation with a 1989 approach. Remember what mobile phones looked like in 1989? The few people who had them needed a carrying case to cart them around. They were really car phones because it wasn't practical to carry those big, heavy things around, and they were expensive. Most phones then cost far more than the average family's budget could afford. They were the tools and toys of physicians and corporate types who needed continuous access. You can use that phone today. That old analog equipment could not match the digital technology of today. You'd be stuck if you used a floppy disk to store data in a Google Drive world. Get in tune with your actions and behaviors that need to change so you can correctly focus on your destiny. Pinpoint how you can learn to change so you don't mess with relationships and situations that don't need to be messed with. Get unstuck. When destiny provides the opportunity for you to get unstuck, heed the signal to change and to take action. Adopt new behavior to get out of your small life. Adapt in order to get out of a stuck place. Get unstuck from the self-imposed constrictions, learned limitations, rigidity, and closed-mindedness. They will only keep you stuck. Being stuck can only bring you frustration, which is an enemy that will wreck your plan for destiny. The frustration won't change with a stroke of good luck. It shifts through strategy. Move from stuck to strategy and bring about the change you need in preparation for destiny. Destiny takes more than you. When you feel stuck, you feel alone. You've tried everything. You found the right people. You've gone to the right schools and moved in the right neighborhood. You're driving the right car and wearing the right clothes. You've joined the right organization and you still feel stuck. Some things you cannot do in your own strength. You are not in pursuit of destiny alone. You don't have to figure it out all by yourself. God has appointed people and reserved resources for your future. Getting to destiny is about more than planning and also more than a series of accidental or serendipitous events. Destiny is both a promise and a process. God will show you the promise, and the process must unfold to prepare and position you. That process must include a strategy to break through the obstacles that stand between you and what you desire. Calm down your spirit. God will give you a strategy for destiny. The last sentence can be difficult to accept in our make-it-happen culture. You think it's up to you. You think all you need is preparation, perseverance, and purpose. You've got all of that and you're ready to take off. You're in touch with your warrior spirit. You're a beast at making it happen. You don't need assertiveness training. You'll stand up for your rights. You're ready to fight for your destiny. You'll ask for that promotion or raise, or introduce yourself to the head of the company you want to work for. Every day you wake up charged and ready. You're strong enough to meet anything that dares stand in your way. But you're stuck. What good is all that strength if you don't have God's direction to use it? Strength in the wrong place is weakness. That's true of anyone's gift. If you're not using your greatest asset in the right way, it's weakness. Your greatest strength might be your undoing because it is turned to weakness. If you're fighting the wrong issue or the wrong person or for the wrong reason, you may be fighting the person who can help you get to destiny. You may be fighting the family that is your support system as you work tirelessly to arrive at destiny. You may be fighting the one friend who is strong and loving enough to tell you the truth about yourself. You may be fighting a situation because it doesn't look like an opportunity. A fighting spirit 24/7 may be hindering your pursuit of destiny. Don't completely annihilate your warrior spirit. Be battle ready. But strive to be in control of it. Use your warrior skill set effectively and only when necessary. If you're a make-it-happen person, you may be trying to do it all, doing battle every day to make your dreams come true. Your hindrance? Trying to build your dreams without the dream maker. Getting to destiny involves so much more than what you can do. Know this. When God works in the midst of your goals, you will reach them. You definitely have a role to play, but so does God. Distinguishing God's responsibility from your own is hard. The divine-human partnership is tough to figure out. Find that balance between doing all you can and trusting God to work out the rest. A farmer was standing alongside his field looking at his abundant harvest. Beautiful, even rows of all types of vegetables. A neighbor drove by and commented, "Just look at what God has done." The farmer replied, "Yes, but surely you remember what it looked like when God had it all alone." Destiny becomes reality when you partner with God. It's a balance of secular and sacred, the delicate balance of faith and action. At times you will move forward in the firm faith of your appointment with destiny. Other times you will operate in your skill set, simply doing the things you're best at doing. The difficulty with this collaborative effort is that you don't get to call all the shots, nor can you lock God into a formula. God may use the least likely source for your destiny. God can speak through enemies, children, or the infomercial you're watching at 3 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep. Be open to listening to God. Let God fight the battles you can't win by yourself. Do not attack every situation like a warrior. Sometimes you do not need to win a fight. You need a God-given strategy. You need a strategy because fighting doesn't prevent your issues from getting in your way, won't keep you from imagining insults and enemies where none exist, and can't stop you from overreacting. A godly strategy won't let your boss's thoughtless remark cause you to quit the job that will lead you to destiny. You need a godly strategy to handle the internal defaults that have gotten you stuck because destiny requires you to live beyond the temporary, inconvenient challenges. A strategy will restrain you so you won't spend the money you're saving for school on a new car. And when you have a strategy, you can be happy driving the old car with tidy savings in the bank. Strategy will prevent you from making permanent decisions based on temporary situations and thwarting destiny. You are God's investment, and the Almighty has a great interest in your success. God has a purpose in you achieving your dream. You help fulfill the divine plan for humanity. God is using you. You are not using God. That is one certain way that you can know God will give you a winning strategy when your destiny is part of a larger good. Don't misunderstand me. At times you will have to fight for destiny, but you can't possibly fight your way to destiny. Destiny always requires more than your skill set. If you're stressed and strained, fighting a battle from which you can't retreat, and you feel you can't win, recognize God is in the midst of that battle. God is with you. See more in the battle than just a fight. See the Almighty. God is a strategist who will take the storm you're in and blow you into a new arena. And God's strategy won't just take you to a new opportunity. It will keep you there. Divine strategy is for the long haul, to keep you in the fullness of destiny. Resources without strategy lead to poverty. People without a strategy soon lose resources. All the external components for success without strategy will not last. Lack of strategy is why lottery winners can get millions and be broke 2 or 3 years later. Pray for resources all you like, but I would rather pray for a godly strategy. When God gives you a strategy, you can overcome anything. But God can't give you a strategy if you think the battle is yours. When you think the battle is yours, you're giving God a strategy. When you humble yourself and admit, "I don't know how," God will give you a strategy for every situation you confront. You may not understand God's strategy, but follow it. It may seem stupid, pointless, or even downright unreasonable, but follow it. I admire people who have a warrior spirit, even when they become their own worst enemy because they can't recognize it's time to stop fighting and be still with God. I like them because they're always at the ready. The polar opposite of the warrior spirit is the wimpy spirit. Makes me crazy. That person does nothing but sit still and procrastinate waiting for God. They say, "Well, I'll just pray about it." They use waiting on God as an excuse for their own lack of engagement. "If God means for me to have it, I'll have it," they mutter. Destiny will not appear on your doorstep and introduce herself. While there is a spiritual dynamic to destiny, it is not solely spiritual. You have to be engaged in the process. God definitely plays a role, but so must you. Again, that divine-human partnership is tough to figure out. But as the saying goes, work as if destiny depends totally on you, and pray as if it all depends on God. Destiny requires more than luck, anointing, or natural talent. I've heard many share their journey and lament that they tried and did everything they could until they could do nothing more. They sigh and say, "And then I hit a stroke of luck." Talking about the kind of break you can't explain with logic or reason, the opportunity that comes without invitation or explanation, the chance meeting in the elevator or standing in the line at Starbucks. Maybe it was something that inspired them to come up with an idea, solution, or invention. That pivotal moment brought hard work, talent, and skill to a divinely orchestrated opportunity that ushered in destiny. It was a serendipitous moment that changed their life. They can't explain it and don't understand it, but they know that breakthrough was completely out of their power and ability. When that happens, you are left with gratitude. There's a lot of talk in some church circles about being anointed. It's a way of acknowledging a person's destiny. But too often I've seen this concept distorted into an exemption from hard work and sacrifice. God can position you in places where the odds say you would never be, but the positioning comes after preparation. None of us is exempt from getting training, acquiring knowledge, paying dues, or gaining experience. You still need preparation, no matter how much anointing you have. The same principle applies to natural talent. Preparation, formal or informal, is a prerequisite for destiny. Some people get what they need from attending great institutions of higher learning, but other people gain their preparation in the school of life. Those are the ups and downs that toughen us, strengthen us, and give us wisdom for what lies ahead. No matter how talented you are, no matter how lucky or strong your anointing, you must be willing to do what is necessary to reach your destiny. The actions required of you may be difficult, they may be uncomfortable, and they will be challenging, but your God-directed strategy will get you there. Preparation may take longer than you'd hoped or planned, but keep going until you are face-to-face with success. There really is no such thing as an overnight success. All the people we consider successful, whether on television or in the movies or in the community, even in the pulpit, have paid dues to get there. An accomplished pianist gave a concert, and at a reception following his performance, a woman said, "I would give anything to be able to play the piano like you do." The man replied, "No, you wouldn't." The woman looked puzzled. The pianist explained, "You wouldn't practice for 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. You wouldn't practice until your hands became stiff and sore. You wouldn't give up having a social life because you're on the road performing more often than not." The woman considered the man's comments and realized she was not willing to make such an investment. She was unwilling because being a concert pianist wasn't her destiny. Just because you're gifted to do a task doesn't mean you won't have to work at it to live your destiny. That you're willing to work at it is a sign that you are pursuing your calling. Most people only pursue what they love. It's the only thing that can make a person work at something for hours without getting paid. Preparation is hard work. It's not glamorous and it's tiresome. Don't let lack of preparation hinder you. Remember the wise saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Chapter 11. Learn from the destiny of others. Step into greater exposure. God is a great strategist who will call and then lead you to destiny. But it is critical to have at least one human being who can guide you in the quest. Listening to a wise mentor and learning from the experiences of others in pursuit of destiny can boost you past mistakes you may make while trying to do everything on your own. You need someone in your life who has successfully navigated the territory you're trying to cross. If you're a husband who's experiencing marital tension because working and taking college classes keeps you from helping with the kids at home, talk with a successful man who overcame that same challenge. Talk to a successful business owner who had to file bankruptcy after the first business failure, or someone who became a success despite flunking out of college, despite a prison record, or despite having no support at home to keep going. No one has a perfect journey to destiny, and talking with a mentor who has experienced similar trials can help you realize there's nothing wrong with you. Everyone has setbacks, makes dumb decisions, and hits some hard bumps while trying to succeed. What you're going through is the dues you pay to take the ride. Once you align with God and agree to take the ride, God begins putting things in motion. When the student is ready for guidance, the teacher will appear. When you are positioned toward destiny, the mentor you need will appear. But you must be looking, and you must be open to instruction, guidance, and wise counsel. When you say yes to destiny, introductions will be made that you can't explain, and you will develop associations that money could not buy. Sounds exciting? Let it happen. The best mentoring relationships evolve naturally. It is a relationship that calls for both parties to be willing participants. There are plenty of successful people willing and eager to share their knowledge with someone else. Look for opportunities that are beneficial to your pursuit of destiny. You want a successful mentor, of course. Otherwise, why bother? The best choice of a mentor should be someone who is successful at living a full life, a person who is effective in business, but whose personal life is in shambles, is not living in destiny, a person whose financial gain is acquired by cheating or mistreating others is not living in destiny. That's not the person you want to take advice from, except how not to do something. A good mentor will encourage you to have patience in the process because that person already knows that destiny takes time. A mentor knows the pitfalls of the journey. A good advisor knows how to get back up after a tumble and can help you in the sometimes painful process of standing after life knocks you down. The wisdom of a successful person you admire can build your confidence and encourage you to try new things and take calculated risks. An effective mentor also will be honest with you and advise you when you're not ready for the next step, as well as challenge you to stop being afraid to take the next step and move forward when it's time. Mentors help you learn the ropes, put you in apprenticeship programs, and lend insight into the direction that will maximize your time and opportunities. They help humble you in a positive way because they remind you that you still have more to learn. Mentors guide you to new prospects and encourage you to take risks. They let you know you have more growing to do and keep you humble. A seasoned advisor can help navigate the strategy of your life. Heeding the sage advice of an accomplished professional helps pave for you a smoother, less circuitous route than he or she had to tread. Mentorship decreases your learning curve. When the words of a good teacher are heeded, you lessen the possibility of mistakes, which can save you time, money, and relationships. A strong bond with a trusted advisor can help you gain ground in your chosen field much more quickly. Are you one of the bootstrap people? Mentors can't help some people. You've heard the stories of people who claimed, "No one helped me. I made it all on my own." The bootstrap people who have made great strides often are not good candidates for mentorship because they are by nature independent. But even those who seek to make it on their own will eventually experience decreased momentum along the journey because they will have exhausted their internal resources. They may hit a wall after success is achieved and need a mentor to help them know how to handle power or wealth or fame or raising their children to have a motivation to find their own destiny. People who pride themselves on doing it all alone have usually paid a great price for being loners. They might have saved themselves years of struggle or mistakes simply by being willing to listen to someone who has already been there. And there's always somebody who's been there. Rather than recreate the wheel, find a mentor who's been there and done that. Reading and research are important tools to equip you with knowledge, but mentoring has the added benefit of stocking your decisions with wisdom, wisdom that someone else has paid for. Imagine the mistakes a plumber would make without apprenticeship. Who would want a physician who had never been an intern? Would you want a surgeon who had never participated in the procedure alongside someone with greater experience? I was in a restaurant one day, and two waiters walked up to the table. Since ours was a party of just two, it seemed odd to have two waiters. The lead waiter said, "Good morning, my name is Will, and my associate behind me is Helen." Helen was in training, so she mostly observed and learned. Books can tell you what to do, but mentoring will show you how to do it. There's nothing like having a hands-on experience. I love to use a four-step approach to a teacher-learner relationship. First, watch me do it. Second, do it with me. Third, I'll do it with you. Fourth, I'll watch you do it. An advisory relationship using this approach can build your confidence. You work better when you have certainty about your level of knowledge. And being validated by mentorship creates confidence and raises the comfort level for all involved. Years ago, we watched Harpo Studios bring new star power to television as Oprah Winfrey mentored Dr. Phil into his own television brand. Later, we watched Dr. Phil mentor the doctors. In the television world, these are called spinoffs, because one entity or personality spins off an already popular show to create a new show or brand. In corporate America, the term sometimes used is sponsors. These are the people who help you break through corporate barriers to reach new heights that would be impossible without someone who introduced you to the next level, and the next level to you. In the business world, there are financiers known as venture capitalists who look for small companies with great potential for growth to invest in. Peter Fenton is a 40-something venture capitalist who saw the future of Twitter and invested when the company had only 25 employees. Today, Twitter has more than 500 million users who send out hundreds of millions of tweets each day. Mentors don't create your talent, but they certainly enhance what you have to offer. Even the Bible shows case after case of mentoring. The great Apostle Paul mentored Timothy, a young pastor in the early Christian church. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus mentored his disciples simply by saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Imagine how lost the early church would have been if it had leaders who had not mentored new generations of leadership. Mentoring begins where education ends. Older siblings get more total immersion mentoring with their parents before younger siblings come along. As a result, they get an IQ and linguistic advantage because they are the exclusive focus of their parents' attention. So says Jeffrey Kluger. In its purest form, parenting is about nature providing mentoring for the young. It's an admission that behaviors that seem instinctual may not come without modeling. Whether a bear is training its young to fish, a lioness is training her young to hunt, or a father is training his son to work, mentoring prepares a mentee for a successful experience in a fresh environment. In our purest understanding of society, we are never truly independent of each other, but are instead interdependent. As significant as education may be to professional success, education without mentoring doesn't ensure true success. Many years ago, the term on-the-job training was used as secular companies began to realize that the experience of the prepared must exceed the education of the novice. A resume may profess the necessary qualifications for an applicant to apply for a position, but if that position is to be maintained, acclimating to the organization's culture and the environment requires mentoring. In its purest expression, the term sponsor means one who pays for the project or activity carried out by another. Recently, we made some staffing shifts in one of my organizations and were able to hire highly qualified people with contemporary skill sets required by ever-changing technology. Fast forward 12 months, and I noticed that while many aspects of the job had become much more innovative, there was still a lag in productivity. Under the time crunch of our fast-paced organization, some of the newer people began to decline in progress, largely because they knew how to perform the tasks but had not perceived the unspoken rules that exist in any infrastructure. I realized after a steady decline in productivity, along with costly mistakes and a sluggish work atmosphere, that mentoring was needed to help those most astute employees perform optimally. I brought back some of my older team members as consultants to train the new ones. The new people